Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's a command. It's a promise. If we do walk in the Spirit, we're not going to be fulfilling these desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. And that's talking about the Spirit, capital S, that is inside of you if you're here this morning and saved. Not the Spirit in general, but the context and the point and the subject is in you, in us, we that the Lord has saved. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, verse 17, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, and don't ever think that they're not, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the comparison here is the works of the flesh, verse 19, or the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, or glory that is empty. Glory, but from what it's alluding to there is honor of men, not vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Verse number 23 at the end, against such there is no law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your people, and Lord, for each and every one that's come out this morning. We thank you for visitors that are amongst us, Father, and we pray, Father, that you would just help us now to lay aside the cares of life, those things that beset our hearts and our minds so easily. Lord, take all those things away, that they might be laid aside, Father, and we might hear you speaking to us from your word, through your word, and through your Spirit. Help now, Lord, we that are saved, that we might see these things that you tell us, that you command us, that you instruct us in. And Lord, for any that are here this morning and not saved, we pray, Father, that they might see Jesus Christ high and lifted up, precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, that they might see the love of God extended towards them, applied to their sin, and Lord, that you might save them. We pray that you'd work in it. Help us now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and that's our focus, this message and in last Sunday's message. And we want to emphasize and reiterate some things here this morning, and we want to take a look at some additional things. Over in Matthew chapter 7, let's take a look over here. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That's how they'll be known. By their fruits. By the fruit of the Spirit that they bear or they do not bear. By the works of the flesh that they bear or do not bear. By their works ye shall know them. The Lord instructing us here. He says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. It's given us to be. The Lord warns us and tells us about these things that we should take it to our hearts about ourselves. And that as we look on at others, as we walk, that the Lord tells us plainly, that's how we will know about these that are ravening wolves. That's what it says in verse number 15. John chapter 15. Right here in between the hymn and Gethsemane, the Lord teaching us. In verse number 5, he says of John 15, 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And goes on to Rome. We go on to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, Romans 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, church at Rome, saints of God at Rome, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and that's laid out there. The Scripture talks to us in the New Testament, talks to us about making our calling and election sure. We need to be evaluators of our own fruit. Self-fruit inspection in our study on the Lord's Supper about that introspection that needs to be there, that introspection, that examining of oneself the Scripture is going to speak to us when we get to 1 Corinthians 11. It is there. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, because if it doesn't, all you've got is flesh. All we have is flesh. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, and that Spirit is manifested by that fruit. We talked about last time, back over in Galatians 5, we talked about last time how it is with the fruit of the Spirit that there is no law. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, there at the end of the verse, against such there is no law. And we mentioned about how it is with the law. The law says things to do, things not to do. If you take from the standpoint of tithes and offerings, as we believe, as I believe, you know, we take that example of the tithe that goes all the way back to Abraham or Abram before he was even there was Israel and those promises fulfilled in him, that it is such that of the first fruits, so all the way back to Adam and to Abel and to Cain, an offering of the first fruits. And then there's a sacrifice order that's given there back to Adam and his sons. That is there. But when you take that, and you take that instruction, we take that command, if you will, and we accomplish it, it's done. It's fulfilled. There's nothing else to do. If you take and you give your tithe, once you've given it, you've given it. Anything that you give above and beyond that at that point until you're gained more would be an offering. If it says, do not kill, the law, when you don't kill, you've obeyed it. If it said, the Scripture says, and the law says, do not commit adultery. If you haven't, you've abided by it, and you fulfilled the law. If the law says to do this, that, and the other, bring a Passover lamb at this time, bring the annual atonement to Israel at this time, in the seventh month, as we've studied. Once it's done, it's been fulfilled till it's ordered to be done again. But when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the Lord tells us through the Scripture here, there's no law against it. We can't accomplish it. We can't get it filled up. We can't take love, that's our subject this morning, we can't take love and overdo it. We can't get to the end of it. There's no law against it. And that's the way it is with these fruit. We took a look last time we made this mention, and we've heard I've heard some said, we just need to love each other. I wish we could just love each other and get along. But as it turns out, they want everybody else to get their love straightened out before they offer their love. Everybody else get right, and then I'll extend myself. Why don't those that support such a point, why don't those that say such a thing, why don't they just go ahead and work overcoming everybody else's lack of love with their own love rather than hold theirs back till everybody else gets straightened out? Because I think when we go to the Scripture, and as we did last time, we find that it's not that way with the Lord. When we took a look last Sunday at the definition of love by taking a look at the Lord's life, love was extended by God in these ways and defined by Him in the Lord Jesus Christ's life and in His ministry. The love of God is giving of that which is most precious. God gave His only begotten, pure, righteous, holy Son who had never died for sinners like you and me. That's love. That is love defined. Love defined, the love of God is defined by the Lord in receiving Jesus. The Lord says so much. You receive me, you receive the Father, you receive all of God that there is, and receiving Him, not in what we would pick and choose an a la carte off the God buffet, but you take all of God or you take nothing. That's the way it is. That's the way that it is. God's love is defined by receiving Jesus. We saw last time that the love of God equals or is defined by the laying down of one's life. Jesus laid down His life for sinners like you and me. And the Scripture goes on to say in 1 John chapter 3 that that's how we perceive the love of God, because He did lay His life down for us, and we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. Am I willing to give my life for you? Are you willing to give your life for me? If love is going to be manifested in our hearts and our lives and our this spiritual life that we have, are we willing to give our life one for another? May the Lord help us. But that's how God defines love. The love of God is defined by loving the Lord's people. The fellowship that we have because of the Lord, that near kinship that supersedes the kinship that we have with our own blood kin. But if God says it, we want to abide by it, stay in it, pursue it at all costs. And we're going to see a little bit more about that this morning. The love of God is defined also by keeping His commandments. He says simply, if you love me, keep my commandments. He gives an example. I kept my Father's commandment. So should you. So should we. The love of God is defined in these ways. And then as we mentioned, and what we want to mention last time, what we want to take a look at this morning, Luke chapter 7, let's take a look at the Lord's love challenge to us. And it is a challenge indeed. The Lord's love fruit challenge to you and to me. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you been saved? Have your sins been forgiven? Did Jesus Christ die on that tree for you that day some 2,000 years ago? Did he suffer? Did he bleed? Did he die? Was he buried? Did he raise again from the dead for you? Listen, He's speaking to us. He's speaking to you and to me. In Luke chapter 7, as we take a look at the Lord during the Lord's ministry, His love challenge towards us, His challenge towards us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to bear this fruit of love. Let us see what the Lord says. In Luke chapter 7, verse number 36, and one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat, Jesus did. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And it was expensive, it was precious. And stood at His feet and behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden Him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. The implication is, she is a whoremonger. She's an adulteress. She's a fornicator. She is having illicitness and intimacy with other men that she should not be having. And this man that invited him says, look at him. He's letting her touch him. And Jesus answering saying, and said unto him, verse 40, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He goes ahead and gives this account of these two debtors. One that owed a little bit, one that owed much. 500 verses 50. One that owed 10 times more than the other. And he asked him, of those two that were forgiven, who would love him the most? Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, you have rightly judged. You've determined that that's correct. The one that was forgiven, the 500. He turned to the woman and said to Simon. Notice that. He turned to the woman, but he's talking to Simon. Listen, folks. He's turned to the woman, and he's talking to you and me. Let us hear it. Seest thou this woman? I entered to thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, cried from her eyes, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, not a towel. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't even kiss me on the cheek and greet me, as it is our custom in our nation, in our land amongst us to do so. You didn't even greet me like that. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with that most precious, and she is not held back. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, Simon, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You know what? We need to love the Lord because of His forgiveness for us. This woman is crying. This woman is washing the Lord's feet. This woman is wiping the filth off of His feet that has been broken up by those tears, wiping it on her hair. You and I, we don't even want anybody to touch our hair. But she loved the Lord a lot, didn't she? And then she took that ointment that was most precious and break it open. She didn't put it on His head. She put it on His feet. You know what? We need to love the Lord because of His forgiveness. It says in John chapter 16, for the Father Himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. We need to love the Lord because the Father gave His Son for you and me. He gave Himself for our forgiveness of sins. We need to love Him because of His forgiveness of our sins. And we need to take and understand the point that if He's forgiven us one, He's forgiven us much. One transgression was enough to send my soul to hell. But then add my depravity on top of it and the multitude of sin that I've committed that I don't even know about. He has forgiven each and every one of us that He has saved. He has forgiven us much. May God help us to see it. You got a big debt on your house. You've had a big debt on your vehicles. You've had a big debt on your child's education. It's nothing. You got a business debt that is just six figures out of this world, seven figures and beyond. It's nothing compared to the debt that we've been forgiven in Christ. The Lord's love challenge. We need to love Him because of His forgiveness. We need to love the Father because He sent His Son for us. Mark chapter 12, verse number 28. Next. We need to see what the Lord challenges us here. Mark chapter 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? He asked Jesus this question after those things that he's dealt with them about this hypothetical situation about these seven men having this woman to wife and there being no children. And the Lord deals with them. He suffers them, and I believe that's the way that it is. Jesus answered him, verse 29, Mark 12, 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord! when you see it that way in the Old Testament scriptures. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Everything that's about us. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. There's other occasions where men, the rich young ruler came looking on how he could be saved. The lawyer came to the Lord asking the same kind of questions. This scribe comes here after the Lord has answered them about those things that they posed to him. And there's another occasion about the lawyer coming to him. But the Lord says, you got to love God with your, we are to love God with everything we've got. Now, this last week, did we? This past week, yesterday, did we? This morning, have we? The Lord tells us that's the way our love's to be. As children, it's to be that way. We're to love the Lord with everything we've got. We're to love the Lord with every wit and peace and part of our life. And you know what? We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm to love my neighbor as myself. That's what the Lord's commanded. That's the challenge that the Lord gives us. Fruit of the Spirit, is it being born in our lives? Luke chapter 6. The Lord shows us that we need to have a love for Him because of His forgiveness of our sins. Because the Father was willing to send His Son for the likes of us. We see that the Lord challenged us that our love, we need to be working, that our love is such we love the Lord with everything we've got and love our neighbor as ourself. And then here in Luke chapter 6, let's see what the Lord has for us. Luke 6:27. But I say unto you, which hear, are you hearing this morning? Are you hearing this morning? Or are you just here this morning? Are you hearing this morning? Or are we just here this morning? May God help us to see it. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. To him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. You want to be treated a certain way? Treat everybody else the same way. If I want to be treated a certain way, I need to treat everybody else. Everybody that I meet, everybody I come in contact with, the same way. Listen to this, verse 32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. That's a common thing. Reciprocal, indeed we are. And if you do good to them which do good unto you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. That's just the way it is in the world. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. That's the way it works in the world. You know, works are talked about and said, well, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that, so-and-so did the other. Listen, there's just a normal thing that happens amongst mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, that even those that are not saved do have care for their own, have care for those that are their kin, have care for those that are their friends. That happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's not necessarily, it's the thing that is a basic thing with the Lord. And it happens amongst the world. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know what? The Lord challenges us to love those that do not love us. Is that not what the Lord did to us? Amen. That's what He did. I hated Him. I was far from Him. I did not want anything to do with Him. I wanted to live my life my way. I wanted my wickedness, John chapter 3. I didn't want to get close to the light. I wanted a form of religion. I wanted to have it on Sunday and hang up Jesus on the locker on the way out the door and live the way I wanted to the rest of the week. The Lord visited me and saved my soul. And then Jesus had an impact on me all the time. Jesus, the Lord, the Spirit of God, is with me all the time. And that's the way the Lord says it needs to be in us. Love for our enemies, the Lord challenges us. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Love for the Lord because of His forgiveness. Love for the Father because He sent His Son. Love for the Lord and our neighbor. Above all else, love for our enemies, because that's what the Lord did for us. And then, how is it? We've got these straits that we're put in. What will we choose? What will you and I choose? Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, because here's the way it goes. It comes from Jesus. And if Jesus says it, the Son of God, God Almighty says it, listen, you and I can't think that we're going to change it and do it different. May God help us to see that. We cannot philosophize and say, yeah, but we got to see it the way that the Lord sees it. Remember, with the soul, with the heart, with the mind, and all the strength? Yes. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve the Lord and the world. You can't serve the world and stuff. We cannot, I cannot, you cannot serve God in the way of the world. We can't do it. You got to pick. Walking on the fence is already on the other side of the fence. May the Lord help us to see it. And He speaks to us. Did the Lord love the world when He came? No. He loved us. He loved the Father. And He did everything. Did the Lord love the world when Satan came to Him and tempted Him? No, he didn't be the king of all the earth. No. Those other things that that Satan tempted the Lord in, did He submit to those, succumb to those? No. It was the will of the Father, and for those that He came to save, that the Lord did love. And He challenges us. We cannot love and serve God and mammon. Next, John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Peter, we all have this as an example to us, that there is a thing of growing. There is a thing of maturing in the Lord. There is a thing of that happens to us where we doubt. Thank God that He doesn't bail out on us. Thank God that He doesn't hold us to perfection in these bodies that we cannot be perfect in. But the Spirit of God is able and does move if we will avail ourselves to it. Be filled with the Spirit. We need to pursue it. We need to pursue that love for the Lord, that love one for another. It isn't just going to flop down in our lap. We've got to ensue it and pursue it. We've got to desire it. We've got to want it. We've got to not be bored by it, but see that it has value. We need not be offended by it, that it's for women and children and weak men. May God help us to see. Right here what the Lord's given us in our church is, if we will apply what the Lord says to one to another in our church, the Lord will bless us and we will have a good rest of the journey together till the Lord comes. But what did it say over there in Galatians? If we bite and devour one another, if we want our way rather than what the Lord says, if we want what we will be satisfied rather than what the Lord says, if we live life based on what we're thinking rather than what God says, then we're going to have trouble. We're going to miss out on the blessing of the Lord. What the Lord deals with Peter here. John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, and you know the account here, I trust, Jesus said unto Simon, saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You love me more than fishing, Peter? You love me more than your buddies? You love me more than your friends? You love me more than the way that you want to go? What'd he say to him? I go fishing. And six more said, yeah, we're going with you. Watch. Watch who you follow. Make sure they're following the Lord if you do follow them. I tell you, as pastor, if I am not following the Lord, do not follow me. But if I am, be warned. Be warned. Be warned from the Lord that it is. He said, you love me more than these, Simon? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said, you know I'm your friend. That's not what the Lord asked him. He said, feed my lambs. Peter, I've got a work for you to do. I've got a responsibility for you to meet. The second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I'm your friend. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Not just my lambs, but my sheep also, Peter. Saith unto him the third time, son, Simon, son of Jonas, are you my friend? Are you my friend, Peter? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, are you my friend? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I'm your friend. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he goes on and Peter quarrels. The Lord tells him how he's going to die. He tells him, verse 19, this spake he signifying what death he should glorify God, that he'd be crucified. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me, Peter. Follow me. Peter says, what about John? Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Love me, Peter. Follow me. And don't worry about anybody, anything, anywhere else. Follow me. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, 28. Fear not them which kill the body. Matthew 10, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know what? Denying the Lord is not only talking about him and his person, but it's talking about his doctrine. It's talking about his teaching. It's talking about that way that he is ordained and instituted and set up. If we deny it, the Lord will deny us. There's several different things that are there. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. This is the Lord speaking. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, that a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, self-denial, and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. That's the reason that fellowship is so important. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Love for the Lord or love for our family? How's it going to be? Love for the truth or love for our family? How will it be? John chapter 12. John chapter 12, there were those in the Lord's day in the time of his ministry that had a problem with things. The Lord challenged them and told them, he said, you want to receive honor one in another rather than seeking honor from God, rather than obeying the Lord and what he says, you want to be pumped up by one another. You want to be received one of another. You look for honor one in another and not seek not the honor which cometh from God only in John chapter 5. Well, here the Lord tells in verse number 42, John 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him because of the Pharisees. They did not confess him. They believed, but they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why? John says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What do you want? They loved that. But we should, as his children, love the praise of God. How will we have the praise of God? Obeying him. Obeying him. Obedience. Obedience is so much the answer. The love of the Lord's praise, or the love of the praise of men. Over here in John chapter 12, another point that we see in verse number 24, we're going to love ourselves. We've taken a look at the peripheral things. We've taken a look at our neighbor. We've taken a look at loving the Lord. We're talking about loving the world. And this has been alluded to here. But in John chapter 12, verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord speaking this of himself and explaining it and telling it to us, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Listen. If you take your life and use it the way you want to use it, if you take your soul and steer it in the way that you want to steer it, then when this life is over, this life will be the best that you've ever had. Because in hell, in the lake of fire, you will abide alone. You will abide alone. And there's more things that this can be, but that's taking it and pushing it all the way to the end. The Lord said, if I don't die, I will abide alone. And it applies that way. But if it die, if this corn of wheat die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Much fruit. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. What's important? Where is our estimation? Where is our reasoning about this life that God has given us? Are we living and hanging on for this? Or do we hold this in its right place looking for that eternal with the Lord? Do we hold on to this and just live it ourselves with our family and our children and that's it? Or do we live it and walk it with the Lord daily? How is it? How is our love fruit of the Spirit? He goes on to say in Matthew the same thing. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Love, challenge from the Lord. What are they again? Loving the Lord because of his forgiveness. Loving the Lord because the Father sent his Son. Loving the Lord and our neighbor with all of our might. Loving our enemies. Loving the Lord or loving the world, the things in it. Loving the Lord or our friends and work, as the Lord challenged Peter. Loving the Lord or loving our family more. Loving the Lord's praise or the praise of men. Loving the Lord or loving our own life. How is it? How is it? Do you and I manifest the love fruit of the Spirit? It says in Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. And it can happen, and I believe it is happening. Is our love fruit wax cold? Do you have any love fruit at all? The Lord said to the woman at the well Sychar in John chapter 4, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Is there any everlasting life showing up in you that the world can see? Is there any everlasting life showing up and flowing up in me that the world can see? Do we have the spirit do we have the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives? Do we have it manifested the way the Lord says it, as we read in Romans chapter 8? But ye are not in the flesh, children of God, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's not a question, it's a statement. Is it so that the Spirit of God dwells within? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we read this last time. And this is here written to a church in Greece in the city of Corinth. This isn't a book, 1 Corinthians. It's not a book written to the heathen, per se, as the Gospels are, written to those that don't have Christ as Savior so that they might see Christ. But this is written to a church. And what's it say? It says here, 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, if any love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. And that anathema is talking about cursed, banned, accursed of God. Maranatha. Our Lord will come or is coming. It's an exclamation of approaching divine judgment. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed at the judgment. If the Spirit's living within, there is to be fruit that's being manifested. And it can be all kinds of different degrees and amounts and all that over the course of someone's life as they grow, as they mature and have setback, chase after sin maybe, and grow. And that it can be all different kinds of ways, but is it being born? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Verse 23, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. That's pretty stiff, isn't it? To pin down, nail down our flesh. That's serious, isn't it? That's not light. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of the praise of men and glory in this world that comes one from another and from the world and the world system that's empty, that has no future. But let us desire that glory and praise from the Lord, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. We need the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in us. There's no law against it. There's no getting to a point and arriving. I need to work on it more. As the Word of God speaks to me about it, I know the way it is with folk. You need to work on it more. But let us ask ourselves, is it there? Is it there according to the Lord? Do we esteem the Lord as high as we should? Or do we take what he says and say, well, I've got an excuse for that. I've got a reason for that. I've got a buy for that. I'm going to change that. God's not that way. Listen, if we don't back up what we do, what we say, what we think with a passage from the Word of God, if we don't have the Word of God to back up what we do or what we don't do, then we're falling short of what God has said. And may the Lord help us to see it. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need salvation through Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in John chapter 1. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Not that are born after the way that children are born in this life, and not after a way of religion and the ray of the world, and man's trying for salvation, but born of God. Do you hear the Spirit of God speaking to you? Do you hear the Word of God speaking to you? Not me, but the Lord. But the Lord. Hear Him. Hear Him. Repent and believe.